Welcome to Take Off, a Points and Miles podcast by 10X Travel. I'm your host, Bryce. With me today, I'm joined by Emily and Matt. How are we doing, Emily and Matt?
Doing well.
Yeah, all good here.
Excited to talk about Take Off becoming a Points, Miles, and Shopping Portal podcast, because that's going to be the topic of today's shows. It's one of the easiest ways to earn more points and miles with minimal effort. You don't have to step on a plane. You don't have to check into a hotel. We're going to be talking about all things airline and hotel shopping and dining portals. These are tools that let you earn points and miles just for doing stuff that you're already doing, like ordering DoorDash, buying running shoes, eating tacos. Whoever wrote this outline, like, was that targeted at me? Because that's me. And I earned some extra points and miles doing it. We're going to talk about how you can do the same. But before we jump into that, I want to start with a fun icebreaker question for both of you. What is the most off-the-wall way of earning points and miles that you have ever heard of? Strange, like, deals, pursuits, activities that earned points and miles.
How do you pick just one? I see people in our Facebook group all the time doing this or that, and it's just like, wow, you're crazy. I wouldn't even do that.
You can pick two if you want.
Yeah. No one stopped.
Go ahead, Emily. Go ahead, Emily.
Oh, okay. I found this guy who basically hacked his conference calls. He figured out that there was some promotion going on where he could earn miles for the number of minutes spent or used on a conference call. And he would just dial into his conference calls and leave his phone connected for hours. And then he would rack up like thousands of airline miles.
What?
This must have been back when long distance calling was a thing. Yeah. So yeah. Was he coming out ahead by...
I mean, all you have to do is leave your phone on the hook, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just do some other work and collect the rewards, I guess. That doesn't seem like it would be an option these days, but.
Yeah.
I feel like we have to give a shout out to maybe like the most infamous answer here in the points and miles space, Pudding Guy. Total points and miles fame. This is a guy from California who in 1999, he earned like over a million points and miles via a pudding promotion done by Healthy Choice. They were selling cups of pudding. I think it was like every 10 cups that you bought and like scanned the QR, or not QR codes, this is 1999, yeah. Right? Fax the receipt. For every 10 cups you bought, you send in proof of purchase and you got 500 miles. And this guy like realized that the math kind of works in your favor. I think cups of pudding were like 25 cents each. So he bought like $3,000 worth of them. Of pudding, peeled off all the tops, sent it in, earned over a million miles, and I believe donated the pudding to the Salvation Army. So that's an awesome story. I love that, and that's one that many in the hobby are familiar with.
Man, I can't imagine peeling off that many pudding tops. I feel like obviously worth it, but there was some manual labor involved.
I was gonna say, I hope he got like disability insurance on his thumb, yeah. Or whatever, yeah. Whatever finger he used to open the container.
Yeah, workers' comp.
Even better, built a contraption to open it for him.
Yeah,
that would have been better.
Like the Pepsi guy, the promotion where he's trying to earn a jet, and he hired people and warehouse space. Like you could do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Get a full business set up.
Yeah, didn't have to go to any pudding portals for that one.
Yeah, no pudding portals. No, mine's probably one you've heard of if you've been in Points and Miles for a while, but back in the early 2000s, as part of an initiative to drive promotion and uptake for the new dollar coin that the U.S. Mint was minting, they allowed you to buy them from the mint with your credit card. And so people realized that, hey, I'm buying money for no fee, and I can just, you know, run through the loop or whatever. They would just put literally tens of thousands of dollars per order of these coins. I forget what the limit was. I think it was $10,000
per order.
Something like that, but it was just like insane. You would just go pick up this box of coins, take it to the bank, deposit it, rinse, lather, repeat, and then earn just tons of points that way. So that was a big sort of scheme or back in the early 2000s for earning lots and lots of points. If you look up the mint coin, you know, credit card points, whatever, you can see some stories about it. That one to me is, I wish I was involved at that point in time. Yeah. I knowing myself, I would have gone crazy.
Oh yeah, I can see you taking advantage of that one.
100%.
I'm just picturing the look on the faces of the bank employees when you stroll in with a box for like
every
the
day,
80th consecutive day.
Yeah,
and they know they have to count all these coins.
Well, that yeah, I think I'm that sure was part of that. The that was part of the problem was all these banks were getting all these coins and having to essentially process them, and what were they going to do with them? So.
The goal being to probably get these into circulation and they immediately end up back in the bank vaults. Like,
yeah, quite literally.
Yeah. Well, there are easier ways to earn points and miles now creatively without having to peel pudding cups or go to the bank every day. And that comes through shopping portals. And that's going to be the focus of today's episode. But I want to give a quick reminder that if you are brand new to this game, you don't know who Pudding Guy is or the US Mint stuff, you're just getting started. Highly recommend you go out and check out episodes 1 through 6 of the show to learn some of the basics and also to join our Facebook group with over 400,000 points and miles enthusiasts to kind of get started on your learning journey before you dive into this particular topic. But let's do exactly that, diving into this particular topic, starting with what are shopping portals and dining programs? So let's first explain kind of the difference between those two things and what they are. Both of them can help you earn extra points and miles for things that you're already gonna do anyway without getting on a plane, but they do work somewhat differently. First, shopping portals. Shopping portals are websites that allow you to earn additional points and miles, or sometimes cash back, simply by visiting them first and then clicking through those sites to get to the website of the retailer that you're ultimately shopping with. It's kind of just one extra step at the beginning of your journey. Go here first, click on the link, you bounce over to the website that you're gonna go to anyway, but that extra step rewards you with points and miles based on the amount of money that you purchase. I find it's helpful to know like kind of why this works, because I'm still confused as to how the conference call thing worked, but why this works is because these websites, these shopping portals, they are affiliates of all the major, you know, online brands, if you will. They receive a commission for anything that you purchase having come from those sites, and they kind of share that commission with you by giving you points and miles. So it's almost like, you know, referring your friend to Uber. If anyone does that anymore, who doesn't have Uber anymore? But you refer your friend to Uber, it's like, hey, if you use my Uber link to sign up, I'll give you 500 points and miles. Kind of same idea. So that's how they work. These are completely free to use. You have to sign up and create an account to get started. It takes like maybe 2 minutes at most. And it's an easy way to earn points and miles from the ground. And again, for things that you're kind of already doing. So that's shopping portals. Dining programs also allow you to earn points and miles for doing things you normally do, but they're a lot lower touch, if you will. These are programs mostly from airlines and hotels where you sign up, create an account, you link a credit card of yours one single time, and then anytime you use that credit card to pay for dining out at a participating restaurant, you get bonus points and miles for that purchase. So these, you don't have to do the extra step or open up a browser in the actual restaurant before you're dining, because that's a lot of fun. You just link it once, forget about it, and you, at least in my case, earn points and miles without even realizing it. You just get a little email like, hey, how was your meal at Bryce's Tacos? You earned 85 extra points for that. It's like, oh, cool. So both of them, same outcome, but the mechanism is slightly different. Key thing to know is that shopping portals, you have to use them every time. That one extra click to earn extra points. Dining portals are more of like a set it and forget it kind of thing, and you often don't even realize you're earning extra points, but they do start to stack up over time, especially if you dine out as often as I do lately. Good fun. That's how I justify it. So most major airlines and hotels have shopping portals. Big ones being AAdvantage, eShopping, Mileage Plus Shopping,
there
Delta
it is
Sky
again.
Miles Shopping.
Yep.
Oh, sorry, Advantage. Here we go, wrong pronunciations again. To find them, you can just Google like American Airlines. You know, you're typing, so you don't pronounce it. American Airlines Shopping, and you'll find it right there at the top. Hotels used to have these too, but most of them have shut down. I think Wyndham is actually the only one that's still remaining. So shopping portals, mainly an airline thing. Dining programs, also most major airlines have one. And then you do have more hotels participating in this one too. You have Hilton, Marriott, and IHG are the main ones. And those ones, again, set it, forget it, earn extra points. There's some key things to know that we'll kind of talk about here later on the episode on how to use them, but all your favorite airlines and hotels have these tools available. Now, there's one additional tool that's a bit of a hybrid of sorts that plays a huge role in this space, and that is Rakuten. You've probably heard of Rakuten before. Rakuten is a standalone shopping portal. It's not directly tied to an airline or hotel. They give you cash back for having clicked through and going to any major retailer and purchasing. But the reason why it works well for points and miles is because Rakuten has an option where you can choose to earn your cashback in the form of a major transferable bank currency, of which I can't say the name on this podcast for previously mentioned rules that we have to follow. But there's a link in our show notes to an article that covers it. It's one of the main ones. It's probably one of the ones you choose to earn. And you can take your cash back as these types of points at a value of $1 per point, or I always mess up the decimal places here. $1 of cash back would be a point.
That's correct. That's correct.
So you can potentially get higher value redemptions out of that. So that, you know, despite Rakuten not being associated with an airline or hotel, effectively lets you earn airline or hotel points or travel points by using them instead. And you can opt to take cash back if you prefer as well. Rakuten is also free. It even comes with a sign-up bonus. It's usually like $20 to $50 if you sign up and spend about $20-$50. We have a link to that in the show notes too. Refer your friends once you sign up. It's an easy way to earn some points and miles. And of course, using it for shopping. Now, Rakuten, it plays a key role here because it's often preferable to earn those transferable points and miles instead of just with a particular airline or hotel. So if you're thinking, all right, do I want to use the American Airlines shopping portal of the pronunciation that I struggle with? Do I want to use the Marriott one or would I rather just use Rakuten, which could potentially like reach both of those for redemptions? Most people are going to go for Rakuten. But there's a use case for all of them. So in terms of like use cases for shopping portals, you know, anything you'd normally buy online, start there. I think the most popular one that we see in the group, and I'd be curious on your thoughts on this, Matt and Emily, like Apple. Like if you're buying a new iPhone, new laptop, AirPods, like you're usually spending quite a bit of money. I don't know if you can go to Apple's website and spend less than $100. So those really start to add up.
Only if you're increasing your storage for like 99 cents a month.
Oh, I guess that's a good point. Yeah. Or like, my charging cable. I left it in a hotel room somewhere. So
even I don't know. They're getting expensive.
That's true. Yep. That is true. I think I've purchased like 4 sets of AirPods in the last year. Just leave them all over the place. So we see Apple a lot. We see like Home Depot, like if you're buying appliances or doing some sort of house project, Sephora, Nike, like you're purchasing new running shoes, as mentioned in the intro. Those are some of the more common ones you see, but really I think there's over 1,000 participating retailers on all these sites. So whatever you're buying online, you probably have an opportunity to earn extra points and miles through one of these portals. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, but for me, I generally don't do this for anything I'm buying that's like less than $100. So I have to like look up like which one to use and make a choice and think through that for like an incremental like 8 points. Doesn't seem worth it. But I'm curious how each of you approach this.
It's not really like a conscious decision. I usually just only remember to do it if I'm spending like around that threshold of money. And the other thing that trips me up too is so with these like major retailers like Amazon and Walmart, like so much of my shopping is just done through Amazon, and that's not really one that you can earn extra points on. It varies, like depends on what the category of the product is, but like I try my hardest to remember if I'm like going to a different retailer's website, I'm like, okay, this is something I can actually use Rakuten for.
I primarily use Rakuten for the flexible earn of it because it's earning flexible points versus using an individual airline or hotel shopping portal. So that's my go-to. And the only reason I use as much as I do is because I have the browser's extension installed on my computer. So it literally alerts me and tells me when I'm on the site, like, hey, here's what it earns and how much it earns. Just click it to initiate the session. Now, a lot of sites, you don't even have to refresh the page. It just kind of auto applies it, which is good. So highly recommend the browser extensions for making it even easier.
Yeah, I feel like I have so many of those browser extensions that every time I go to buy something online, there's like 8 of them that pop up and prompt me to put in like coupon codes and all sorts of stuff. I think I deleted the Rakuten one in a kind of a fit of rage and purging all of them at some point, but I should probably look at downloading it again.
Yeah.
So
they always make you feel so guilty when you click away from them. Like, you really don't want to save 2% on this purchase?
Please wait like 20 minutes while I try 100 different coupon codes, which virtually never work.
Nope.
But you might save like $2 or get free shipping if you just sit around. So,
Yeah.
One thing to note, you mentioned Apple and other just big purchases. One thing you have to pay attention to is Apple's notorious for this is pay attention to the terms and conditions of their arrangement. A lot of times with Apple, like computers, phones, all that kind of stuff are excluded from earning cashback. You can only earn it on a lot of the accessories, but sometimes they are. Literally, if they're running their 4 or 5x multiple, a lot of times that'll exclude like computers and or the iPhones, but it'll include pretty much everything else. So you do have to read the fine print, unfortunately, to make sure that your purchase is qualifying.
That fine print is what prevents Matt from being computer guy on an episode 10 years from now when they ask the opening question and they're like, that guy from North Carolina bought 1,000 computers and sold them online. And you know, they're getting wise to the game here.
Yep.
But yeah, there's kind of some things to know about like which shopping portal you might consider using for which purchase, because that does vary in terms of how many points they'll give you per dollar spent. And for that, I'll let Emily tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah. I think generally speaking, it's going to be hard to compete with the number of points you can earn using Rakuten, but most of the airline shopping portals will give you like 1 or 2 points per dollar spent. So if you're spending $100, then you know an extra 100 or 200 points earned on that purchase. But sometimes it can vary pretty greatly. They'll have special promotions, especially during like sales or holiday seasons, where you can earn even like 8 to 12x on specific stores, depending on the seasonality. Sometimes there's super, super high deal earning rates, like 25x. Those are usually for things that are like lesser known merchants or subscriptions or wine clubs or software. I think we've seen pretty often like Life Alert deals where you can earn like 25x points on signing up for Life Alert, and people don't even need Life Alert and they'll sign up just for the points. But sometimes the math makes sense on that. So generally speaking, it sounds like it might be kind of hard to figure out which portal you should be using in order to earn the most points. But there's a website called Cashback Monitor, which makes this super easy. So all you have to do is go to the website and it'll pull in all the rates for every shopping portal, like Rakuten or the airline shopping portals or the hotel shopping portals. And then you can compare, you can type the specific retailer that you're shopping at, like Nike, and it'll show you what the earn rates are across the board. So you can kind of make that call easily rather than having to go to every single loyalty program shopping portal and figure it out for yourself.
Yeah, it almost feels like Google Flights, right? Like, oh, I'm gonna shop to buy a flight. Let me first go to Delta and search. Yeah. Nope, don't like that. Now let's go to United and search. Oh, nope, seems silly.
Yeah, it just aggregates it all for you. So once you've figured out which one you wanna use, all you have to do is then navigate to that specific shopping portal, and then it'll redirect you to the retailer's website, and then you just shop as normal. Just use a credit card that has a better earn rate on that category as well too, if you want to try and double stack. So if you're buying something that's like entertainment or travel in some way, make sure you're thinking through the last step of which card you're paying with too.
Stacks on stacks on stacks, right? And that's what they're referencing when they say that.
Yeah.
Yes. Matt, can you tell us a little bit more about how hashtag stacks on stacks on stacks works?
Yeah, exactly. They're stacking the best way to do what Emily's referencing is essentially putting together multiple promos, so shopping portals, plus maybe you have offers on your card. Some of the issuing banks offer additional offers on your card that you can activate at a retailer. So if you can, the really good way to maximize it is to be able to activate some of those offers and use a shopping portal and use a card that's earning points for that category, that you're essentially triple dipping at that point. You may hear it being referred to as that sometimes. Combine that, exactly, with either the shopping or the dining portals, and you're really going to come out ahead. For example, like you can earn 3.3 times A Advantage Miles, as Bryce would say, or the rest of the world will say Advantage Miles, on your purchases at Home Depot through the American Airlines shopping portal. If you are also paying with an American Airlines co-branded credit card, you might be able to earn 2 points per dollar on top of that. So you're coming out at 5 American Airlines miles per dollar on the spend there. So that's just, I would call that a basic stack, But that's totally fine because, as you've heard here, most of us half the time don't even use a portal. So you're coming out ahead on that purchase, even though you may think that it sounds super simple. So, all right. Now, in terms of some tips and tools for using some of these stacking options, a lot of those are going to obviously participate with the dining and shopping portals. One note you should think of for dining programs is a lot of them run under kind of the same back-end program, rewards network is what it's called. They essentially have the software and back office to power all these programs for the different loyalty programs. So what that means in almost all cases is that you can only register one card in one of these programs because obviously they're going to know which program it's registered in. So unfortunately, can't really hack your way around this kind of thing. They've already thought of that, or maybe they hadn't originally and realized it. But yeah, so you'll have to pick selectively which program you want to participate in and then register your card with that program. Now, I guess the one sort of positive of that rewards network running all these programs for the loyalty programs is the restaurants, in terms of the dining stuff, the restaurant offerings in every program is virtually the same. You know, a restaurant in almost all cases isn't going to only participate in the Alaska dining program, but not participate in every other one, or vice versa. So that is one sort of positive for it. I guess
if you only wanted to earn a certain kind of point currency, you could just register all your cards into one program and then never have to think about it. But if you were trying to get a variety, that one doesn't work as well.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely so. One other tip, look out for seasonal promos. Think back to school, holidays, end of the year, summer, those kinds of things. A lot of times there will be promos in the shopping portal similar to promos you see in physical retail stores. For those of us that still actually go to physical retail stores, a lot of times they have, you know, promos around the Super Bowl or President's Day or you know, wherever it might be. The same kind of concept exists in the shopping portal world. So in terms of shopping portal promos, one thing that I historically have looked to do when I need to buy a new laptop, typically buy Apple laptops, historically I've always tried to use the Alaska shopping portal program for that, because you know, the Alaska currency was harder to earn than it has been as of late. So I would just wait until Apple went to 4, sometimes even 5x, and it was usually just a one-day promo, and then do my shopping then. So you know, just timing some of that stuff can literally mean a much, much higher multiple in terms of the return on your spend. So definitely something to look out for. And most of the aggregators for these programs, think like Cashback Monitor or some of the other ones, you can even set up email alerts for some of these retail outlets. So I could say, hey, let me know when Apple is having a elevated earn rate, and that you'll get a notification to help remind you too. So that's another sort of tip you can use.
To talk real quickly about the dining program, like participating locations, like it's important to know that it's not as if every restaurant's participating, right? It's correct. It's actually a pretty select group of them. And I ran a couple searches for my own area before we hopped on here. And it was what I remember from years ago, last time I did such a search, which is that it's mainly like non-chain locations that are, I don't know, I think the joke I made on another episode was that this is where John Taffer gets his bar rescue list from. Like it's mainly just like Jim Bob sandwiches, like Emily's Bar, you know, kind of like locally owned places that are not like the most common place that you end up dining out. Like I've maybe been to a couple of them by accident, but it's certainly not, you know, go to Chipotle and get your usual bowl, Bryce, and you're going to get 50 extra points for it, right? Have both of you kind of noticed the same? Is there anywhere like favorite locations or spots that you seek out because of the dining program?
It is a desert, or has been historically. I did not look like you did before this episode, but historically over the years, the one restaurant in town that participated in a dining program was Dickie's Barbecue. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's kind of it is a chain, so it kind goes against your claim, Bryce. But that was the only one around here for the longest time that participated one. I think there's a handful, but I guess it's just the thrill of going out to eat, and you never know if bonus points are going to show up in your wallet or not at the end.
Yeah, I feel like the major cities probably have a better selection, but I was surprised to see like a couple restaurants that were on it that are in like my small downtown neighborhood and not just in Denver. So at least there's a few options, and there are places that I would go anyway, and I was you know, not aware that I could earn some extra points. So I'll take it.
Yeah, I think that the moment you're using like the dining program list for like, where do we want to eat tonight is where you've probably gone too far with chasing points and miles. I mean, if you do, God bless you, more power to you. But that's, of course, kind of why they do this. And now I'm wondering, like, what does this look like from the restaurant perspective? Like, right, your Jim's Bar, does someone like show up or email you and like, hey, do you want to join one of these networks? Like, here's how it works. Like, do you have to like give a higher cut of the sales to get the 4X or 8X miles? Yeah. And if you don't, of course, I'm naturally going to like, how do I launch like a food stall with no customers, sign up for this, 100X points per spend, and just start swiping my own card. And then a decade from now, and they're like, hey, what's the coolest way you've seen points and miles? Like, oh yeah, Bryce's taco food stall. Never sold a single taco. Made 10 million points. It was amazing.
Yeah, just stand up an LLC. It's fine.
Boom. Done. Well, that would be one pitfall to maybe watch out for in this. And there's maybe some others to know as well as smart strategies. So Emily, can you walk us through some key things to know?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest one is just not remembering the simplest part of all of this that kicks it off, especially if you're using a shopping portal, which is just to remember to click through the portal, which I can't seem to do. I have to think long and hard to remember to do that. But if you do, it's great. And like those earnings pile up pretty quickly, especially if you're doing all of your online shopping through there. So remember to do that. That's the first thing. If you've got like ad blockers, pop-up blockers, privacy blockers on your browser, best to turn those off if you're trying to use the shopping portals, because there's tracking that takes place in order for you to get your extra points or miles or cash back or whatever it is. So that can make your effort not worth much if you have those. So remove those before you go through this process. And then there's also some like third-party apps that can kind of avoid the tracking. Sometimes if you try and double stack coupon codes with the cash back from a shopping portal or the points from a shopping portal, that it voids it altogether. So just make sure you read the terms and conditions to avoid those scenarios. Another one is just not taking the couple seconds to register your card with a dining program. Generally speaking, like every new card you get, you might as well just pick one shopping portal to link it to, so that on the off chance that your town has more restaurants in the dining program than ours do, you can earn those passive points much easier. The last one is really, at least that I have, is just if I went to one of these restaurants that's on the dining portal and then I just didn't use the card that's linked at all, that would be kind of worst case scenario. It's like, cool, I went to this new restaurant that probably wouldn't have been on my list. Maybe it would have been, I don't know. And then I just didn't even get points on it. So make sure you're checking that, doing that admin work before you go.
Yeah, and of course there's some kind of more general points and miles strategy that layers on there, right? I'm guessing if you're going to dine out as even like a middle of the road points and miles enthusiast, you probably have a general idea of like, these are the cards I tend to use for dining out because they're in 3X, 4X, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like registering your low value cards for dining spend with a dining program seems kind of pointless, because like, why are you using that anyway?
Yeah, I feel like the default thought, or at least like mine when I was looking into this, is just like, oh, well, if I'm going to sign up for the American Airlines dining program, I might as well just link my American Airlines card so I can earn even more miles. But that's not necessarily one that's going to have the most bang for your buck in terms of earn rate. So you're better off linking something that's not necessarily a card that earns the same type of miles as the dining program, so that you can kind of double dip further on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually this isn't even in the notes, but I'm wondering like if like using like an Apple Pay would void that if it has like some sort of temporary card number other way of exchanging. Yeah, if it wouldn't track back to your card. So make sure you take out your physical card, use it to pay.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've seen in some of the terms and conditions on some of the like popular cards with transferable points, when you're going to use like their own restaurants that are in their own like preferred list, you go there and in the terms and conditions it says like they can void it and just not give you the extra bonus points if it's through a merchant that doesn't register or like Apple Pay in that scenario. They just can't track it as well as they could if you just paid directly.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Really, like the broad trend of like there is some potential turbulence that can happen with attributing these right privacy blockers, clicking the wrong link, using some sort of third party app, using a tap to pay. Like things can generally go wrong. And if they do, I don't know about either of your experiences, but like reaching out to any of these portals and be like, hey, I think I deserve 40 points for that taco I bought last week, like probably not gonna help.
Probably not worth your time either.
Yeah. Almost certainly not worth your time. And it can take points a bit to show up, right? If you go home right after dining out, don't expect to like log into your loyalty account and see them there right away. They can kind of batch them or they can appear like, you know, days, even weeks later. The whole thing is very much like, just wait to see what comes out of the black box of points and miles. Yeah. And hopefully it comes out, but like you just will never feel like it's totally tracking.
Yeah. I think that leads to another good point, which is that there's not that many loyalty programs that have points that expire at this point, but for a while people would use these programs to try and keep their points and miles active. Like it used to be way more common for them to expire after 2 years if you hadn't redeemed or earned or really used your account very much. So shopping through a shopping portal or a dining program would kind of extend the life on those. But you have to keep in mind that they might not post for 6 to 8 weeks. So if you're like, my points are expiring next week, it might not help that much.
Yeah. Worth a shot. Enjoy the Jim's taco. But yeah, it might not work fast enough, which almost makes it, you know, worse. Like, oh, I did all that for nothing.
Yeah.
There's a two more quick pitfalls that I want to add here, and this is me kind of getting on my soapbox, but I think it's a general trend in how to think about using shopping and dining portals. Effort versus reward. You can if you want to, you can completely overwhelm yourself with like chasing deals doing this. You can sign up for all the emails, all the notifications, like the, you know, browser extensions and stuff, and they'll tell you that it's 50 points per dollar spent at 1-800-Flowers, and you had no intention of buying flowers, but wouldn't that be a nice gesture today? And now you're spending 50 bucks that you otherwise wouldn't have for points. And like Emily mentioned earlier, sometimes the math works out where like you actually are profitable buying flowers, in which case, cool, do that, it's awesome. But when you find yourself kind of like deciding where to eat based on this, purchasing things that you otherwise wouldn't have, going to Cashback Monitor, not with a specific store in mind, but just looking at like, ooh, who's offering the most points today? Oh yeah, maybe I do want to go to Best Buy now. That's where you start to lose the game. And even if you aren't buying things, like these, all of these tools will gladly overwhelm you with sales materials via email, text, whatever. So do unsubscribe from those as you can. Don't let this kind of overwhelm mind share. And of course, don't let it make you spend money that you otherwise wouldn't spend, because that's kind of the game. And yeah, it can take some work to kind of turn off that faucet of salesy information, but I highly recommend it.
I have an additional pitfall to avoid.
Ooh.
Ooh.
So I just searched in the dining program for where I live for the first time in years. There's approximately 10 restaurants that participate in it, and one is the Greek restaurant we eat at probably once a week. So that's a pitfall. Don't go 4 or 5 years without seeing who's
we
new.
We can do a quick aside. Let's crunch some numbers. How many points has Matt missed out on from the spot? And lots, is it enough to book a flight to Greece? And why is that going to be a future podcast episode?
Yeah.
Yes. Deep analysis incoming. Now, Matt, we need to know, what do you typically order? Okay. Do you get tzatziki on the side or on top? Because it's 50 cents extra on the side. We know that for points and miles.
Right.
That is correct.
Yeah.
No, this place is legit. And the way you know that is in the chicken souvlaki, the fries come in the souvlaki, not on the side.
Oh, there we go.
And that's how it's served in Greece. So,
fries on the side, points and miles for dessert.
Now I know what I'm getting for lunch tomorrow, and with a side of
which
Alaska
dining
Atmos rewards.
Okay.
Oh, Alaska for sure. Yeah, for sure.
I was looking at the Advantage program because they just have like some pretty cheap domestic flights in general, and I was trying to see like on just a regular night out as a couple, like maybe it's 150, 200 bucks or whatever, and you earn 3x per dollar on that by going through the dining portal, and then you use a card that earns 3x on dining, and that also conveniently transfers back into American Airlines Advantage program, and you're like 15% of the way towards a free domestic flight. I don't know. I feel like for one night out, it's not bad. I was looking at American Airlines flights that were like 7K just to get me like from Denver to New York. So like if I just eat out a couple times, which I would do anyway, maybe not at the restaurants on the dining portal, but maybe the math would work out, you know?
Yeah, all of Emily's friends are like, why does she keep inviting us to dinner at this like strange place
and in the strip insisting mall? That she picks
she
up
the always wants to pay. Yeah, yeah, we have to Venmo her.
There's your little tidbit. Yeah. Always pick up the group check if you know it's
a, yeah, you should be doing that anyway before you knew about dining portals, assuming that your friends, of course, are trustworthy.
Yeah, but this day and age, everyone thinks they're a points and miles savant, so everyone wants the points, you know?
Oh, that's true. 100%. Yeah. That is true. But I'm thinking about taking that to the next level. I'm like, all right, we got our staff holiday party next year. Yeah. We're going to Jim's Tacos for
We're
sure.
We're going to Jim's
Like, y'all order whatever you want. This is paying for my family to go to Europe, you know? Like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, as the newest member of the Atmos Dining Program, I would like to lobby for my card to be used.
There we go. The credit card roulette game becomes a little bit more high stakes when you have points and miles junkies sitting around the table, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Unbelievable. Yep. Well, here's the problem, though. Unlimited visits, points are awarded on qualifying dines up to the maximum spending limit of $2,000 per month. So that's a lot of chicken souvlaki pitas.
Yeah.
It's not out of reach, though. I believe in you.
You might have to up that once a week schedule.
Yeah,
make it like two or three.
And that's ordering delivery right now on his phone.
Yeah, that wouldn't qualify.
Although that wouldn't count, right?
Yeah. Yep, yeah. Bingo. I have to go get it myself.
Womp, womp.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think kind of back to Emily's earlier point about like one night out kind of being, what would you say, 15% of the way of a flight. That's just a dinner out, right? Maybe $100 or so. Who knows? I guess, I don't know how much dinner costs anymore. It seems to change all the time. But if you think about that for higher ticket items, like if you're buying a new appliance, like a new dishwasher from Home Depot, and you're getting like 2x maybe on your card plus another 5x clicking through a portal, like that alone could get you a free flight just with the portal use. So we're kind of bagging on like the small nature of some of these earnings and how they add up over time, and that's true, and you definitely want to pay attention to that. But if you're making a major purchase like that, that's when you want to pay attention, because that one single action, literally one extra click, could earn you a free flight. And that's what we do. That's pretty awesome.
I've even heard of people who are doing like home renovations, instead of letting their contractor buy all the materials from Lowe's or something like that, they buy the materials through a shopping portal like this. And I don't know, maybe, I don't know what card has a multiplier on Lowe's purchases, but maybe there's one out there. And then for money they're going to spend anyway.
I know which one.
Oh, yeah?
Is it the Lowe's card?
The Mesa card.
Oh, yeah.
The Mesa
yeah.
homeowner's card. My kind of new favorite card, not to sidetrack on this, but three points per dollar.
Yeah, at Lowe's. Okay, there you go.
Yep.
So that's the ultimate stack. And then like you were already working on a home renovation project, so you just
precisely. See my referral link in the show notes.
Boom. Another way to earn points and miles without getting on a plane. Yes.
Yeah.
Now I'm wondering, like, a potential loophole that just jumped to mind is like, some of these stores do like returns, and they'll refund you on a different payment method, right?
Yeah, I think that one's ripe for jail? You could probably get away with it a couple times, but I know people used to do that at Costco a lot.
Yeah, because Costco. Yeah,
and they would like close their account essentially. So you might be able to get away with it a couple times, but you're not going to be able to do anything at scale.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we just had an online order come in for Bryce. He bought 50 dishwashers. That seems odd, but okay.
Yeah. Yep,
roll up in the rented U-Haul. Like, let's do this. Pudding guy's got nothing on dishwasher Bryce.
Yep.
Yeah. So
your dishes would always be clean.
Dishes would be clean. I'd be fine up front. Yeah. I'll keep one. I'll return the rest of them. Make it seem a little less suspicious.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, kind of like zooming out a bit, how do each of you think about shopping portals, dining programs, kind of within the broader picture of your points and miles strategy, if you will? Like, how big a role do they play? How much do you think about them? What are kind of the key benefits that you get from them to try to piece this all together here at the end while I order these dishwashers?
For me, dining programs are just the key thing I focus on, and it's just the way I find myself in first class.
Yeah. Never.
Right? I mean, clearly, if you've listened to the episode, you'll know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now that you're going to get rewarded on your weekly lunch.
Absolutely.
You'll have to keep us posted where you go with all those points.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't say that I'm a big dining program user, but honestly, this has pushed me a little bit closer to being a more active user of it. I would say Rakuten definitely plays a larger game, or has a larger place in my points and miles game, just because of the transferable currency that you can use. And those things add up. People, especially in the Facebook group, they earn a lot of points that way. So
yeah, it feels like the general path we see people follow is like, oh, like what is this Rakuten thing, these shopping portals? That sounds kind of like woo-woo. Let's try it one time. And then like a week or two later, it's always like, okay, how do I get all my friends to sign up for Rakuten? And how do I run every purchase ever through Rakuten? Like it can really stick with some people. If you're looking at this right now and you're like, it sounds like, I don't know, deciding if that's the juice is worth the squeeze. A lot of people who try it do end up kind of sticking with it. And that's kind of how I think about it, answering that question too. Like I basically, if I'm buying something online for over $100, that's when something in my mind triggers like you need to think about this now. And you know, usually go through Rakuten and the transferable points, and they can add up over time. But I feel like these have become much less of a active thing for me in my strategy now that a lot of the programs have gone to no expiration policy. Like this has been multiple times in my points and miles career. That sounds strange to say, where I've had to like go to the random Crimson Cup and like buy something because my miles with some fringe program are about to expire. And like that was the thing that kind of tipped it and like, cool. But with that off the plate, it's really just down to large online purchases for me, which is good. It's kind of like a secondary benefit.
I'm with Emily. It's almost primarily Rakuten for me, and I use it on as many purchases as I can online, like I mentioned before, just because I have the browser extension. So it literally like tells me to use it. If I didn't have that, I would use it on 10% of my purchases, unless they were larger, kind of like you mentioned. So there's a plug for installing the browser extension because it makes it literally hard to you're going to have to close out the little pop-up when you're on the website one way or the other, so why not just click the activate offer button instead and earn some points for it?
And why not convince your favorite Greek restaurant to launch a browser plugin so that you don't have to think about it anymore? Or an in-store like notification for you. I do want to highlight one listener spotlight from a Facebook group member, Linda, who posted how she used airline shopping portal to boost the points that she earned recently. Here's what she said. Linda says, I've seen people ask how to maximize points when buying Apple products. I recently bought two iPads when American Airlines shopping site was offering a student sale with a free accessory and 3.5x points per dollar spent. I saved $240 and got 10,000 American Airlines points, which as Emily mentioned, that's a flight.
That's a flight from Denver to New York and then some.
Yeah.
Plus I used a card that allowed me to earn 4x points in that category, earning me 12,000 of those transferable points I was referring to earlier. Best stack to date for me. So that's how you do it. Yeah. That's how it should be done. And and that highlights kind of like, you know, buying two iPads, but you have sale, card bonus, plus portal, and it adds up to what, 22,000 points.
That's 22,000 points. Yeah.
Yep.
That's a good stack.
Absolutely. Stacks on stacks.
There we go. That's a good stack. Yeah. Love it. So if you have ever had a similar stack or hit a portal or dining bonus, please post your win in our Facebook group or here in the comments. We'd love to hear about it, feature it, maybe copy it, dine out at the place that you're pitching to us. That'd be great. Emily, Matt, anything else on portals, stacks on stacks, dining programs before we wrap this up?
I think this episode worked out the best for Matt, honestly.
Seriously, so. I'm thrilled right now.
Yeah. Matt's stoked. Just going to get Greek right now.
Yeah,
it's back to back for us too, right? The last episode of Premium Cabin Travel to Asia. It's like, wait, you can do that? Oh, okay, we're sitting here running award searches on the side. Like, that's awesome, right? We're learning along with you, dear readers, and having fun while we do it.
I promise we know what we're talking about sometimes.
We do. Yeah, we most certainly do. But if, like us, you learned something new today, great. Go sign up for a dining program or shopping portal. Let the bonus miles start rolling in. This is one of the lowest effort ways you can do, one of the lowest effort activities you can do to build your points and miles stashes, and especially helpful is just kind of topping off airline accounts, keeping hotel status active, those type of fringe benefits that you get from participating in these programs. Before we wrap, make sure to sign up for My10X. That's our free tool. Track your points and miles all in one place. Keep tab on those loyalty accounts. I don't know, watch the points roll in as you earn them from dining programs. All happens at my.10xtravel.com, also linked in the show notes. Consider joining 10x Travel Plus. That's our paid membership program, where if you want help planning a trip, you get 2 consults per year. You basically get access to our experts to make points and miles easier for you. I mentioned, don't forget to tell us about your best portal win in the Facebook group or in the comments here on the episode of YouTube. Also, I'm told there's a secret podcast portal that you can access. If you take out your phone right now and push 5-star review on this show and share it with 3 friends, you get access to the free portal where you will hear future podcasts of ours that are available to everyone, but especially available to you through that podcast portal. So do please take a moment and do that.
Matt, you have something new to build.
This is cringe.
This is getting cringe here at the end. Shout out to everyone who's still around.
I'm going to get a pita. I'll be back.
Yeah, we might end up cutting that. That feels like a good place to wrap. Appreciate your time, Matt and Emily, educating folks on shopping and dining portals for all of us here.
How about educating myself?
Yeah.
And ourselves. Yes, and we are not above the education. We'll be back to educate ourselves and all of you next time on Takeoff, a Points and Miles podcast, but 10x Travel. Take care now.